So we're going to be in Psalms 139 today. Talk about fearfully and wonderfully made. And usually once a year I do talk about just pro-life, about life. And it can involve beginning of life and end of life. Because we've wrestled with those things both in our nation, right? We talk about abortion, ending the life of the unborn before they're brought into the world. And we even talk about passive legislation for euthanasia, right? Where people can end their life. Is that ethical? Is that lawful, right? Some countries it is, some it is not. And I guess I don't even know where we're at in our nation. I still don't think it's right, but some states I think they do allow it. And definitely some nations do that. So the idea of protecting life and that it is a gift from God. So our nation is wrestling with this. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I think when people thought Roe versus Wade was overturned, many Christians thought this was good news. But pastors realized the Sunday after that that many of the people in our churches aren't as pro-life as they once were. Okay, and I think most legislation that's coming out is going to have some exceptions for incest, rape, and medical emergencies, right? And there is ethics involved. What do I mean by ethics? Well, what is, you know, I had to do this in class for my ethics class when I was working on my master's, you know. You have a mom that's maybe almost full, not quite full term, and she's going to die. What life is more important, the life of the unborn child or the mother, right? Scripture really doesn't, we know that life is important, right? But ethically, if you would come at it from you, most people would say, well, the mom is most important, right? She's a wife, she's a mother, she probably maybe has other kids. But you have to wrestle with those things, right? In most cases now with technology and babies can survive at early stages, right? And so, and then you have adoption, some pretty cool stuff there. So we're going to jump into just what does the Bible say about all this? There again, I don't think it's so much as a political issue as it is a moral issue, right? And we have to wrestle with that, see what God's Word has to say. So let's look just to God's and then to God's Word. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, take your Word, apply it to our hearts, give us your wisdom and your guidance. And we just pray for our nation as well. We ask it in your name. Amen. Let's look at Psalms 139, 1 through 18. And this is a beautiful psalm of David. And the part we're really going to focus in on there is towards like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. But we're going to take the whole thing there from verse 1. It says, "You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word was on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before me." In other words, you protect me, my blind spots. "You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even in the darkness, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, and the darkness as light to you." Verse 13. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. Amen. You know, as we look at this passage, there's three things that we're just going to look at, not just solely from this passage, but from Scripture. But from this passage, we see, first of all, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Each and every one of you. All right? Fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, as Christians, we hold that life begins at conception. So when the egg and the sperm unite, right? We learn that in science class. That is when life begins, right? A baby's heartbeat then can be heard at just 6 weeks. Isn't that incredible? 6 weeks, folks. And new studies show that a baby can feel pain as early as 12 weeks, right? A movement of an unborn child can feel as early, sometimes as 13 weeks. After 24 weeks, babies have a good chance of survival outside the womb if they're in a NICU unit, you know. After 28 weeks, they have a good chance of surviving even without a NICU care, right? That's pretty crazy. Full term would be 40 weeks, right? So even our new grandchild here is 3 weeks early, and she totally healthy and fine. But at that moment of conception, life begins. And there's a lot of things ethically that as a nation we have to wrestle with concerning this. Because there's a lot of abortions that happen within those first few days, right? After, what do they call it, the after morning pill, the abortion pill, right? You take that pill combination and it aborts, you know, if you think maybe I was pregnant, maybe I wasn't. It works up to so long, I don't know. It's aborted, right? And then you have the other, you know, abortions that happen later on. But even some forms of birth control in the past have been, by that definition, would be aborting. The IUD, I think, would allow for fertilization. And even for it just wouldn't allow the embryo to embed into the uterus. So, and then even like with couples that are trying to have kids, and so they go the in vitro route, right? Okay? And so the eggs are fertilized outside the womb, and then they're implanted into the uterus. But there's often good chance of that it won't stick, that the egg will be aborted. So what do? They just don't put one in, they put in several, right? I don't know, I think I've heard maybe four or five some cases. Well, what happens if they all stick and stay? Well, most moms don't want to have quadruplets or whatever, right? So then they will go in and then they will remove or abort how many ever, you know, so that they'll only have one or two kids, right? So ethically, the embryos are just at a very small stage. That's things we have to wrestle with as a nation and as a world. What is the ethics? Is it okay to abort or destroy an embryo at that early age? When is it okay and when is it not okay, right? And so from Scripture, I feel like once life has begun, we need to place it in God's hands. Amen? You know, what if you have a child? Now with our technology, we can go in, there's something wrong with the child. So in some cases, parents would determine to abort the child, right? And so we have to wrestle with those things as a nation and as a world. What is ethically right? David says he's in awe of all this as he thinks about how he was brought into the world, and he probably has his own kids now. And he says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That word fearfully means awe-inspiring and reverence. And that was before the days of the ultrasound, right? That was, you know, they didn't have all the technology, but even then David realized there's something special that happens there. They didn't have that ability to go in and to see what happens. We do now, so we should do better, right? Right? We should do better because we can see what is there with the imagery. And he says, we're wonderfully made, extraordinary, surpassing greatness. With each of our children, we had the experience And the fun experience to see the ultrasound and just to see them. And now the technology is so great. I mean, it's like 3D, and you can tell so much that is there. Does God have a plan and a purpose? Does that just start the moment we come out of the womb? Or is it even there even when we're in the womb? Because I think that helps to inform us a little bit. Is that unborn child, does it have a purpose? Does it have a meaning? Is it created by God, right? This is what God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So even before Jeremiah was conceived, God had a plan for his life. Isn't that powerful? Now apply that to your life. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Isaiah 44, 24 says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by himself. And then Psalms 127, 3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring, a reward from him. From a biblical perspective, we must respect life, even an unborn child. And in some cases where there's been accidents, car accidents or something like that, where the unborn child has been killed, they've actually filed murder charges in that. And so I think in some ways our country is shifting, and in other ways we want to listen to what we want to listen to, right? All right, I already talked about it. Let's go on to number two. I believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what Scripture shows us, that life is a gift. We must do what we can as a people, as a nation, as believers to protect that life. You know, we're born on June 21st. It was just the weird cycle of life. We get word at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that we have a granddaughter, right? And then at 8, 9 o'clock in the evening, get the call from Josh that Bob was now in the presence of God. The circle of life, right? We were born and we die, but we need to leave that within God's hands, right? Number two, I believe that God calls us to be salt and light in this world, right? He says, we are the salt of the world and the light of the world. And our culture can sway back and forth on moral issues. It really can, right? And our morals are not to be based on what is politically correct or popular opinion. Rather, they are to be based upon God's word. When you look at history, there's countless times where people looked the other way when injustice was taking place. Should we list a few of those? How about the slave trade, where people, just because of the color of their skin, were taken by force and put into slave trade. They weren't, in, at least in our context within America, often they weren't even recognized as human beings, right? And even some of those slaves were owned by Christian people. And how does the Word of God align with how they treated them and what they did to them? And then you have the example of Hitler and the Holocaust. And, you know, Germany was a Christian nation, folks. There was a lot of Christian tradition in Germany while Hitler was beginning his roundup of the Jewish people and sending them to the death camps and them dying. You know, some Christians were silent. Others put their life on the line and hid Jews, right? There's movies about that, some books about that. Corrie Ten Boom is one. Anne Frank is one, right? And then if you've seen the movie Schindler's List, you know, it's rated R, so you have to be prepared for the violence and the other stuff that it's there. But, you know, one man did his part to save as many Jews as he could. And he did his best. There is a story about a church that was located on the railroad tracks, just kind of like we were, right? And they'd meet on Sunday mornings and they'd see the boxcars go by, and probably didn't think of it initially until they could hear cries and screams coming from the boxcars. And then they heard the stories about the death camps, and it wasn't long they could put two and two together. And on Sunday mornings when they'd hear the trains going by, what did they do? They sang louder to drown out the sounds. You know, and I don't think God calls us to, as a nation, as a people, when we see things that are morally wrong. I'm not talking politically, because there's political issues. We may have different disagreements about immigration, open border, closed border. That's, to me, is a political issue. You, who you want to vote for, that's a political issue. You want a big government, small government, more taxes, less taxes. That's political stuff. But we're talking about morality, what's right and wrong in our world. And I don't think God wants us to sing louder. He's given us a voice. He's given us a vote, right, to do our part. They sang louder. I think I've shared this story before, but Amy's grandmother, her name was, we called her Oma, but she was a German Jew. She got out of Germany before Hitler had closed the escape routes out of Germany. There was family, some of her family did not get out, and some died in the concentration camps. But Oma would often attend our services when she was visiting our church early on in ministry. She always attended with Amy's mom when they went to church. She was very faithful about going to church. She was Jewish, but she wasn't an Orthodox Jew. In other words, she didn't go to her the synagogue and things like that. But she was Jewish in blood. And we would always have some long conversations. She was always very supportive of Amy and I, and she would always take me out to lunch or sometimes a meal and talk with me. Just a very sweet lady, very hardworking. Came here with nothing, made a living for herself and her family. And Amy and I were there when she passed away in the hospital. It was kind of, she was in for something minor, bronchitis, and it just went south from there. And Amy and I were the ones there, and we had to make those life and death decisions as she passed away. But we didn't know she knew the Lord. And her main hang-up with accepting Christianity, she loved the people that she knew that were Christians. But her main hang-up was, where were the Christians when Hitler did what all that he did in Germany? That was her main hang-up, is why were the Christians silent? Why didn't they do anything? If Christianity is real, wouldn't they have done something? We believe she accepted Christ before she went into eternity. We prayed with her. This is what Scripture says. Proverbs 24:10 through 12 says, "If you falter in the time of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those who are being led away to death, and hold back those staggering towards the slaughter." So this could apply to just, we see a lot of turmoil in our world. We know of times where people have, in certain countries where, you know, people have just been eradicated and killed, right? That is not morally right, and neither is the life, taking the life of the unborn, right? Rescue those. Hold back those that are going to the slaughter. If you say, "I knew nothing about this," does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does he who guards your life not know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done? I think we need to do what is within our power to have a voice and do what we can. This is what we see in Exodus 15 through 17, a similar situation, okay? This is when the people of Israel are in Egypt, right? And they have become vast and numerous, and Pharaoh was concerned about how much they were growing and how powerful they were becoming in their numbers. This was after the time of Joseph, and they remembered Joseph no more. And so Pharaoh said to the midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, "When you're helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, what? Kill him." Wow, think about if that was you being put in that place. You're a midwife. You're the one that's supposed to bring life into the world. But if you see it's a girl, let her live. And the midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do, and they let the boys live. So they disobeyed Pharaoh's orders to spare the life of these kids. It's been said that all that is needed for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. That's what we see in Ohio, is that Christians were pretty silent. They didn't even go out and vote. Registered voters didn't even go out and vote and have a voice. That's not even very much. You're going to vote anyway, right? You should be. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, so he was a German citizen, a Christian man, a deep man of faith. He left Germany during World War II, was actually living in America, but he actually went back to Germany. Great writer. But he went back because what was happening with the Jewish people bothered him so much. He said something had to be done. And so he went back. He actually tried to do a plot to take out Hitler. He would be killed days before Hitler would take his own life. But this is what he said: to not speak is to speak. To not act is to act. He had some very profound words there. He lived and he died by his convictions. I think in America, I know some of us don't even want to be involved in politics. We don't even want to watch the news at times, right? But God has given us a voice. This is a country. We have one of the greatest countries in the world, don't we? Right? And we have to do our part to protect some of those things. And there's ways to get involved. I'll talk more about that. It may be voting, but it's also maybe serving at a pregnancy counseling clinic that does adoption, right? They need money, folks. They help young ladies that are in a difficult situation. They don't know what to do, but they provide the services to help them through that time. And then when the child is born, they have the option, you know, do you want to put this child up for adoption or do you want to keep the child, right? I'll share our own story about that. So there's ways that we can become involved. And so the last thing, the big thing is we need to pray. Does God answer our prayers? Absolutely. And he calls us to pray. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says, I urge then, first of all, petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. You know, we're not the only country that has had to deal with a similar issue. Think about when Jesus was born. And the king said what? All male children born, I want them killed, right? We're not the first time in history that things like this of this nature have happened. Verse 3, this is good and it pleases our Savior. He wants us to pray. He wants all people to be saved and come knowledge of the truth. I'm going to have the musicians come up. God's called us to be salt and light in our world. We must do it with grace and compassion. There's maybe some people here, maybe you're a lady that had an abortion, and I don't know the reasons or why. Maybe you're listening online, somebody listening online. Maybe you have regrets there. There needs to be grace, folks, for that. Man, we've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we could take back, haven't we? That's what God's grace is for. Early in ministry, in our first place, we ministered up in North Dakota there. We had a family. I remember the dad coming. It was in winter because he had his big parka on, had the fur collar. Still talk with this man. But he came to the door, and he was in tears, and he was distressed. And he says, how old was Camille? Okay, there. Theo, you need to bring up the musician. She was 15. Camille is 15. And she was pregnant. And, you know, there's, what do we do? You know, we can be pro-life, 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 and then all of a sudden it hits our home and our situation. And so they had to wrestle through it. So we got them in touched with a pregnancy adoption service in Fargo, North Dakota, and they provide counseling and just assistance there. They chose to keep the child. It was a baby girl. And you know what? That girl is now an adult. She's married. She has her own kids. All right? Beautiful young lady. But they were in a difficult moment. They just needed some guidance and some help. And there are times maybe abortion is the only choice to save the life of a mother. But that's pretty rare. There's great programs with adoption. You know, there's so many parents out there that can't have kids. And so they have to go to other countries to adopt or whatever the case may be. There's foster kids that need a loving family to love them. I think as believers, we need to do whatever we can do to protect life. I don't know. I think it's an either-or situation, the rights of a mother, rights of the unborn. I think it's both and, isn't it? I don't think anybody wants to harm the rights of a woman, a mother. It's to protect life. Amen. I don't know what it takes for us to change our mind. I think sometimes when we don't see things, you know, I drive on 48th quite a bit coming home on Lincoln. So that's where the abortion clinic is, right? Planned Parenthood. And you've all driven by there, haven't you? And you'll see sometimes people out there that are praying or hoping to maybe talk to somebody there. Many times maybe we don't see the women that are going in there, whether young or older, whatever the case may be that they come there for. But I'll close with this story. And it may be too much for some of you, I don't know. But the pastor, he's a pastor in Lincoln at City Lights. He's the national director or state director for, I think, Right to Life. Is he Right to Life? Nate. He's something like that. Anyway, he just shared about a counselor. She was the patient counselor at an abortion clinic. So she would meet with the patients before they get the abortion. And one day she went in to observe a lady getting a second trimester abortion. So this child was into the third trimester. You could see the baby up on the ultrasound. So you see the child there, she goes, it's a healthy baby boy. She could see that. And the doctor put up the forceps in there to grab the baby to pull it out, dismember it, basically. And she could see the child pulling its feet and its hands out of the forceps because of the pain and the discomfort. It was too much for her to visibly watch, and so she had to leave the room. But after it was done, she says, I want to see the child. And they said, no, you don't want to. She says, yes, I do. And so she went back in to see this baby boy with his limbs removed. And you know, at that stage, they're very much a child, right? A small child. And that resulted in her changing what she does. She can no longer do that. Obviously, that was her wake-up moment, realizing, you know what, this isn't just some tissue. This isn't just, it's a small child, right? It's an unborn child. God has to speak to each of us. What can we do? I think the easiest thing to do is vote. The easiest thing is to help volunteer and to be not afraid to speak up and what is right and wrong. Amen? Would you stand this morning? I'm so thankful that God gave me life, gave each of us life. He's the one that gives us life, and when it's our time to come home, He brings us home. And so, Lord, just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, this is a difficult thing. And I, personally, this is something, you know, if it was in my power that it never happened in our world, you know, it would be yes, but it's not all in our powers. But there are some ways we can vote, we can volunteer, we can give towards programs that help women in need in those critical moments. We can do things that our government allows us to do, to stand up for what is right. Lord, just don't allow us to sing louder, to drown out what is happening. But let us do what is right in your eyes. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to do our part. We thank you for the gift of salvation, that we can know you as our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you for this great country of ours. Lord, help us to pray and intercede for it. We ask in the name of Jesus, amen. Let's sing this chorus together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the breath in our lungs. And Lord God, help us as believers in Christ to value life from the unborn all the way up to the end of life, to do it as ethically and morally right, and give us wisdom. Help us to do our part as a citizen, not only of heaven, but of this earth. And Lord God, go with your people this day. Let us be the salt and light to the world around us. I don't think the world needs to know. We need to lead with grace and compassion. We can follow it by truth then. But Lord God, that leading with the grace and compassion is so important. And then we can speak the truth. Lord God, go with us this day. We give you the praise and the glory. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said, God bless you. Greet each other as you